All right, let's find our sermon notes this morning. They look like this. As you're finding that, let's review real quickly. This is our third week in our series on prayer. And so far, we've talked about prayer being a relationship with God. It's not just about getting stuff from God, but it's a relationship. And then last week, we learned that there is a certain someone who doesn't want us to have a relationship with God, which is, of course, the devil. And so our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers, against evil spirits. So we're going to continue our third lesson on prayer today, and then we'll take a break next week. You'll get a special guest speaker, and then we'll continue for 3 weeks on the Lord's Prayer. So let's begin with this. How many of you know the name Paul Harvey? Anybody heard of Paul Harvey? Good! I first learned about Paul Harvey 40 years ago. That makes me old. 40 years ago. And I remember it distinctly. I'd never heard Paul Harvey before, but in the summers, I was working construction, and I always looked forward to our lunch break. We got 15-minute coffee break. I didn't drink coffee, so what's that worth? Then you've got another one in the afternoon, but at noon, we got 30 minutes, and we would always listen to Paul Harvey. So I remember lots of his wisdom over the years. Here's one for us today. There was a three-year-old boy, and he was making his first trip to the grocery store with his mother. And the good mother that she was gave him instructions as they entered the store. She said, "Don't even ask for chocolate chip cookies because you're not getting any." I know some of you mothers have said something similar when you take your little ones. So everything went pretty well for a while. He was sitting there in the shopping cart in the child seat until they got to the cookie aisle. And he points and he says, "Mom, I want some chocolate chip cookies." And of course she says, "No, I told you, you're not getting any chocolate chip cookies. So sit down and be quiet." They continued on, but she forgot something. So she had to circle back, went through the cookie aisle again. "Mom, please, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" You know the voice. "Please, Mom, please, please." She says, "No, I told you, no chocolate chip cookies." Well, all is lost until he gets to the checkout counter. And he sees his chance because he has an audience. And so he stands up there in his seat and he says, "In the name of Jesus, can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" So what do you think? Did he get them? Oh yeah, of course he did. In fact, because he had such a good audience, they all pooled their resources and he got 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies, at least according to Paul Harvey. So we Americans, we do know how to pray, or at least we do pray. Gallup poll, this is in your notes, 87% of Americans say they pray. However, 70% say that their prayers go unanswered. So even though there isn't prayer in public school, we do pray a lot, but are we praying for the right things? Or are we just saying words to ourselves? Is God actually listening? If you've ever been in that boat where your prayers seem like they go unanswered, you are not alone. In fact, Jesus' disciples came to him after he had been praying, and they said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray, like John teaches his disciples." Even Paul wrote that we don't know how we ought to pray. So what does Jesus do? He actually doesn't preach a sermon, although I'm going to. He doesn't give a seminar. He simply gives a model. And we're going to take a look at the contents of the Lord's Prayer in a couple of weeks. But today, we're going to look at the parable that Jesus told that teaches us how to pray. So there's a man. He has a visitor. The visitor comes to him at midnight. Now, in the Middle East, because the people are frugal, a good Jewish mother is only going to bake enough bread for the day. She doesn't want to waste anything, so they're out of bread. And yet it is hospitality that is king. Even if you don't have food, you have to find it. No matter the hour of the day, you have to have some food for any guest. And there's no bread. Old Mother Hubbard's cupboard is bare. But he does have a neighbor. And so he goes next door and he knocks on the door. Now, this parable is sometimes called the friend at midnight, but I can tell you there are very few friends at midnight. You don't want anybody knocking on your door, ringing your doorbell. So what does he do? He ignores it, just like we would. Maybe they'll go away. Well, he persists, and he knocks some more. Now, the custom there is once the door is shut, that means just like nobody's home, go away. But he persists anyways, and he continues to knock. And finally, the neighbor answers the door and says, "What do you want?" "Well, I need some bread for my friend who's come." "It's midnight. We're all asleep." "Well, no, you're not." "Well, yes, we're all asleep." Finally, you know, the wife is there, and I'm sure she's elbowing him, and she said, "Just give him what he wants, and he'll go away," right? It's what we'd all do. Finally, he gets the bread, and he goes on his way. Now, as we take a look at this parable teaching us how to pray, we need to first learn what the parable is not saying. Jesus often does this for us. He tells us what the parable is not about. So let's take a look. First of all, the grouchy old neighbor is not God. The parable is not saying that the grouchy old neighbor is God. Now, so often in Jesus' parables, the Father is God. There is a person in the story that is God, but not in this one. And so the grouchy old neighbor is not God. Secondly, the parable is not saying that if we nag long enough and loud enough, that God will give us whatever we want, just like our kids, right? Not saying that. Nor is it saying that God is hard of hearing. You got to keep knocking because he can't hear you. You got to keep praying because he can't hear you. The psalmist says, "He who watches over you will not slumber, neither will he sleep." God is vigilant. God hears your prayer the very first time. In fact, Jesus says, "Your Father knows what you need even before you ask it." You don't even have to verbalize your prayer, and God already knows what you're going to say. Which begs the question, why pray anyway then? If God already knows everything that we need, why should we pray? Well, if you turn over your notes, we'll take a look. The whole thing is about persistence. That is the message of this parable. There is one message, and that is that we are to be persistent in our prayers. Unfortunately, persistent, it's not high in our list of virtues. How many parents do we have here today? Raise your hand. How many of you pray, "God, make my children more persistent"? It's not what we want. It's just the opposite, right? It's like, "God, let them be quiet. You know, let them leave me alone. You know, quit nagging, quit pestering." So often this stubbornness is looked upon negatively in our life. But when it comes to prayer, we are to be more tenacious, more earnest, more persistent. Our churches, our individual Christians, we need to learn to pray and to pray constantly. Why? Because persistence indicates the depth of our need. Our need. Not our want, but our needs. We as parents know that when our children ask, we shouldn't give them everything, because so often they ask for the wrong thing. I remember when I was a boy on the farm, we had one bicycle for four boys. So I wanted a bicycle because we had to share. And my father said, "No." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, because we have a gravel road, where are you going to ride this thing?" Well, then I knew that my cousin had a scooter, so that made a lot of sense. I said, "Dad, can I have a scooter?" What do you think he said? "No." "Well, why not? Why can't I have a scooter?" He said, "Larry, you don't even know how to ride a bicycle. And it was true. At that point, I could barely pedal. I ran into lots of things, scraped my arms. I actually got my foot caught in the spokes once. It was pretty ugly. However, my cousin had a scooter. And so when we were at Grandma's house in town, there with my cousins, I said, "Hey, can I ride your scooter?" And he says, "Sure, you can ride my scooter." I didn't know how to ride a scooter. And so as I was going around the block, I said, "Can you tell me how to stop this thing?" And he shouted the directions, which I didn't hear. And I went around the block again. "And can you tell me how to stop this thing?" And I didn't hear. And he went around the block again. Until finally, you know, I don't know how to stop this thing, so I just ditch it. Which was not a good move. And my father said, "And that is why I didn't let you have a scooter." So often our prayers are not about what we need, but about what we want. If you take a look at your notes there, if the need is not earnest, then why are we praying for it in the first place? So often our answers may not come in our timetable, and we take that as God is not listening, God doesn't care. And yet so often a delay lets us realize that what we're praying for isn't what we need at all. And so our God wants us to pray persistently so that we can learn what it is that we need. I want to tell you a little story about politics. I know that we're in that season now here with the presidential election coming up. The different conventions that are coming up or have already occurred. And so often we get frustrated as people about corruption in politics. Well, this is nothing compared to what New York City was like in 1870. There was a mayor by the name of John Tweed. They called him the boss, Boss Tweed. And his entire administration was corrupt. Not only was he taking bribes from people, but his entire administration and the people of New York City were getting tired of it. So they decided to do something. And they all rose up together and they printed all these flyers and they had a whole committee of people that would go, really an army of people that would go house to house and hand out these flyers. But what happens after a while? People get tired. And so some of them quit. And they quit knocking on the doors and they quit getting the word out about the corruption in Boss Tweed's administration. And the machine then continued to roll, and finally the election came, and there were a whole lot of disappointed people because he was reelected. The editorial the next day in the New York Times said that what happened was that the good people quit being good before the bad people quit being bad. Because they were not persistent, nothing changed. Kids, let me just address you for a moment. How many of you like to get good grades in school? Like to get good grades in school? You like to get an A? Yeah, we'd all like to get A's, wouldn't we? And yet, not everyone puts in the time or the effort. They want to play. They want to do other things that are more fun, and so they don't get those A's. If you're on the basketball team, is it more fun to start or to sit on the bench? Usually it's more fun to play. And yet not everyone will put in the hard work and the practice that is necessary so that they can be the one who gets to play. How many of us would like to have wonderful relationships in our families? I think we all would, wouldn't we? And yet we don't all put in the time or make the commitment that's necessary to have those good relationships. Wouldn't we all love to be just wonderful Christian people? And yet that takes effort too, doesn't it? To be in worship, to read our Bibles, to know what it says. We'd all like to have great prayer lives. We don't want to be those 70% of people who feel like their prayers are never answered. Well, if we're not earnest and persistent, what is it that we can expect? As we take a look here at this parable in Luke chapter 11, I'm reminded of another parable. Just seven chapters further in the Gospel of Luke, it's the The parable of the persistent widow, sometimes called the parable of the unjust judge. You remember that one? Very similar to this one. Jesus says that there was a Roman magistrate. They're all corrupt in those days. The only way to influence them is to bribe them with money. But this poor widow, she doesn't have any money. What's she going to do? She just keeps pestering him. Over and 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 over again. Now, there is nothing worse than having a woman nagging you all the time. Did I say that out loud? It was just a thought in my head there. Sorry about that. And so, the judge finally gives in simply because she persists. God is not the unjust judge, nor is God the grouchy neighbor. Neither of those parables are about God at all, but they're rather all about us. Jesus concludes this parable by saying, "How many of you fathers, if your son asked you for a fish, would give him a snake?" None of you would do that. Or if he asked for an egg, you'd give him a scorpion. None of you would do that. And then don't miss this. He says, "You who are evil. You who are evil know how to give your children good gifts. How much more will God, our Heavenly Father, give good gifts to his children?" My friends, it's all about persistence in prayer so that we finally learn this last part of the lesson, that we would be expectant, that God will answer, and not only will he answer, but he will give us something even better than what we ask, that he actually will give us miracles. You see, Jesus placed no limitations on his Father whatsoever. And he said, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will indeed be opened." I have this one line in here: "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." Did anybody notice? Did anybody notice? It doesn't say that in Luke. It doesn't say it in Matthew either. So where the heck does that come from? It's not in the Bible. It's not. Not in that form. But the early church added it. And I, for one, am glad they did. "For thine is the power." God has all the power in the universe at his disposal, and as our Father, Abba, Daddy, he wants to give us every good gift. As we close the sermon this morning, I leave you with this. Know who God is. He is your Father who sent his only begotten Son to the cross to die in your place, to forgive your sins, so that you could have a relationship with him forever, so that you can ask for whatever you need with tremendous confidence and great expectation, knowing that he will give you not what you want, but exactly what you need. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.